Yesterday, the question is, what are the immediate benefits when sati and patthana are combined? It is a good question, and the answer is also good. One has to practice satipatthana meditation in order to get the answer. One should focus on oneself, noting whatever object that arises, noting it with sustained mindfulness continuously, noting it with ardent effort. There should be ardent effort all the time in the noting. Having ardent effort continuously, laziness has no chance to arise. Effort overwhelms laziness, and one should exert effort every single second in order to overwhelm laziness so that laziness has no chance to arise. Laziness is disgusting and it is worthy of being cursed, as laziness is a hindrance. Laziness is a hindrance in the practice. So by having ardent effort every single second, the laziness is overcome every single second. In noting the object, one should aim the noting mind onto the object. When the mind is aimed onto the object, the noting mind is direct with the object, and the mind does not slip away from the object. The mind is not deviated away from the object. So when the noting mind is direct or face to face with the object, there will not be sensual desire. There will not be wrongful thoughts thinking about the sensual desire. In this way, kama vitaka, sensual desire, sensual thoughts is removed. And as the noting mind is direct or face to face with the object, one does not wish to destroy others with ill will. There is no envy, jealousy, or stinginess. There is no cruel thoughts wanting to destroy others. In this way, there will be sammavitaka, right thoughts. As the mind is directed, aimed onto the object, mithyavitaka, wrongful thoughts are away. And especially vitaka is directly opposite of tinamita, sloth and topper. And vitaka is said to be uchupatipaka, which is directly opposite of tina and mita. As the mind is active due to vitaka, the mind is open, blossom and fresh. So it is very important to apply vitaka, especially in the beginning of the practice, so that one dispels the laziness. In order to dispel the laziness, viriya, effort, should also be applied, and one should also aim and direct the mind onto the object. When the noting mind is face-to-face or direct with the object, the noting mind as if rubs against the object, and there will not be uncertainty or doubt. When the noting mind hits the target, rising of the abdomen, rubbing against the rising, one is certain of the object, there is no uncertainty or doubt. And sati, mindfulness, is sustained on the object. As the noting mind sticks onto the object, the mindfulness prevents the defilements from arising. In this way, the mind is guarded, protected, blocked away from defilements, and thus there is safety, security, and peace. And one gains the true happiness in the Dhamma, stage by stage. As the mind sticks onto the object, the mind does not run elsewhere, and thus the mind is calm, collected, and samadhi, concentration, is cultivated. Cultivating samadhi, concentration, there will not be udaccha and gogoccha. Restlessness and worry does not arise having samadhi. The mind does not gap away from the object. There is no sensual desires wanting sensual objects. Kamachanda nivarana, sensual desire does not arise. And sambhajanya, correct, complete, distinct knowledge arises, discerning the nama rupa, cause and effect, impermanent suffering and non-self. One discerns correctly, completely, distinctly, outstandingly, and such knowledge is called sambhajanya. Buddha used the word atapi. Atapi means the person who possesses the ardent effort. Buddha did not just use the word viriya, but Buddha used the word atapa or atapi. And also, Buddha did not use the ordinary word jnana, but Buddha used sambhajanya. Sambhajanya means knowing, discerning correctly, completely, distinctly, outstandingly. For yogis who practice diligently, the usage of sambhajanya is very accurate and it is in accordance. And as the person practices diligently, one understands the meaning of sambhajanya through his or her practice. And one also cultivates the necessary mental strength, which has the quality of removing the opposite mental states, which are the hindrances. So one is cultivating these mental strength every single second, and one is removing the defilements momentarily, so that the defilements become more and more distant. When vipassana jnana, insight knowledge, is cultivated stage by stage, and when knowledge becomes mature, one realizes nibbana by attaining ariya magga, the noble path knowledge. When one attains ariya magga, the noble path knowledge, one totally removes the defilements that have been weakened by vipassana. And this is the benefit one gets by attaining the first path knowledge. So by attaining first path knowledge, one is totally free from abhaya, lower assistances. Having attained at least the first path knowledge, one will never be degraded. And there are a lot more benefits, but as there is limited time, Saraji will be able to explain these benefits. Laziness troubles the most in the beginning of the practice. It is the nearest internal enemy, and laziness is very disgusting. And as yogi practices for some time, the laziness arises So one has to overcome the laziness. The yogi who has regards to one's body and life does not overcome laziness. He or she cannot overcome laziness as the person is lenient to his or her body and life. So such kind of lazy yogi does not know that he or she needs to assert courageous effort. Buddha encouraged by using the word attandito. Attandito means the person who overcomes laziness, the person who gains victories on laziness, who is always active, alert, ready in noting, whose mind is always open, blossom, alert, and fresh. And the word is attandito, the person who is lacking laziness. Practicing the high-class Satipatthana Bhavana practice in order to cultivate the pure, clean, wholesome mind and to cultivate knowledge so that the mind and the knowledge will be cultivated and increased. In the bhavana practice, laziness is the biggest enemy that gives most trouble. It is the nearest internal enemy that hinders the practice. The person who has laziness does not practice at all, or even if he or she practices, the person fails to practice strictly, diligently, efficiently, and the person is not getting anywhere in the Dhamma journey because the person has laziness as the obstacle. Buddha wanted the yogi to remove and gain victory on Tinamita, sloth and torpor, which is the most nearest enemy. That's why Buddha used the word attandito to give encouragement to gain victory on laziness. So one should always have the attandita quality all the time. In order to have this quality of attandita, one should continuously have ardent effort in noting the object as well as aiming, directing the mind onto the object. Having these two factors, ardent effort and aiming, directing, laziness does not arise. And one should apply ardent effort, aiming, directing, every single second. If the person is not able to overcome laziness, it will take a long time without making progress in the practice. As the person has the quality of attandita, the mindfulness becomes strong, the concentration also becomes strong, and based on the object that the person is able to note effectively, efficiently, one discerns nama and rupa, cause and effect, impermanent suffering and non-self. And one cultivates knowledge stage by stage. And there are the special benefits. So it is guaranteed that these benefits will be obtained through the practice. And this is the answer to the ninth question, answering the benefits when sati and paṭṭhāna are combined. But still, there are lots of answers to it. But what Saraji has answered is quite sufficient. The 10th question is, where one should practice? At what time, at what moment one should be mindful? And how one should be mindful? So the question asks the location, the timing, the moment, as well as how one should practice. Where one should practice? It asks the location where the practice should be. In the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, there are three places that should be chosen for the practice. Aranyagatowa, meaning one should approach a forest. And Rukhamulagatowa, under a tree. Sonyagaragatowa, a secluded, quiet place. So there are three places to choose. The forest, under a tree, and quiet, secluded place. So these three places are suitable for the person who is a beginner in the practice, who begins to practice. So here, this meditation center, it is like a forest, but one cannot practice under a tree. But it is in accordance with the Sonyagara, quiet, secluded place. So these three kinds of places are how the Buddha chose for the location of the practice. And in the question, they ask at what moment or when one should be practiced. So there are three moments, the past, the future, and the present. Among these three, what is more certain is the present. The things that are arising at the present moment, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, bending, stretching, turning, opening, closing of the eyes, blinking. These objects are arising at the present moment. They are freshly new. So these objects arising at the present moment are most certain. The objects that had already arisen in the past, it had already passed away. So one cannot discern the true nature by noting the object that had already passed away. It is just imaginary. It is not certain. The things that have not arisen yet, they will only arise when there are favorable circumstances or when there are conditions. And one cannot discern them directly as they have not arisen yet. It is just imaginary. In order to cultivate knowledge, one should observe the object that is arising at the present moment. If something or the object is imaginary, one will not gain true knowledge by noting it. So one will not gain knowledge by noting the object that had arisen in the past or that is to arise in the future. One should not be noting these objects in the past or in the future. In order to discern directly through experiential knowledge, one should note the object that is arising at the present moment, which is most certain. And there are objects that are arising in other person and the person himself, herself. The objects that are arising in the other person is not as certain. The objects that are arising within oneself in the ajata, they are most certain. So one should give priority to noting the objects that are arising within oneself. If there are things which are certain and not certain, which are obvious and not obvious, one should give priority to noting the object that is certain and that is obvious. And to answer the question, at what moment one should be mindful? One should be mindful at the present moment. One should be mindful of the object that is arising at the present moment. At the present moment, there are the nama rupa that are not as obvious, and there are the objects that are obvious. So among these objects, among these nama rupa, one should give priority to note the object that is most obvious at the present moment. So if these objects, if there are many objects arising at the same time, the obvious ones and the ones that are not obvious, one should choose to note the object that is most obvious. Rising and falling of the abdomen is obvious. If rising and falling is more obvious than the other objects, one should be noting as rising and falling. And sitting touching, if sitting touching is most obvious, note the sitting touching. Sitting means the legs crossed, the upper body upright. So if sitting is obvious, note as sitting. And touching is also obvious between the buttock and the cushion, note it as touching. In the walking meditation, lifting, moving, and placing of the foot are obvious, and one should be mindful at the present moment. So if there are many objects arising at the same time, some objects which are just ordinarily obvious, some objects which are not obvious, the objects which are extremely obvious, in that case, choose to note the object which is the most obvious at the present moment. By noting the object that is most obvious at the present moment, one automatically is noting the other objects that are not as obvious. So in this way, by noting the most obvious objects, the other objects that are not as obvious are automatically noted. And Saraji gives the example, if there are 5 pieces of strings tied together in a single knot, and if 4 of the strings are in the ground, where only one is surfacing on the ground, one will see the string that is on the surface of the ground. But if the person pulls the string that is on the surface of the ground, not only that it comes up, but also the other 4 in the ground will also come up. So that means when these 5 strings are tied together in a knot, by pulling the one string that is on the surface, the other 4 which are in the ground will also follow. In the same way, when the yogi is noting the most obvious object at the present moment, the obvious object is noted as well as the other objects that are not as obvious are automatically noted. So one should give priority to note the object that is obvious at the present moment. But the question is, if all objects are obvious, if all the objects are obvious in the same manner, or if all the objects are in the same intensity, in that case, one can choose any one of them. If many objects are arising at the same time, one should note one of these objects. If there is a group photo, and if the person wants to take a look at a certain person, one has to circle it in the group photo to take a look at that particular person. And the nama rupa are arising at the same time. So when the nama rupa are arising at the same time, one should not be analyzing it, but one should just note it as a whole. In the seeing, there is the visible object, the eye sensitivity, seeing consciousness, seeing contact, and seeing feeling. So in the seeing, the visible object, the eyes, seeing consciousness, seeing contact, seeing feeling, they are arising simultaneously. And in the hearing, the sound, the ear sensitivity, hearing consciousness, hearing contact, and hearing feeling are arising simultaneously. In the smelling, the smell, the nose sensitivity, smelling consciousness, smelling contact, smelling feeling are arising. And in the tasting, the flavor or the taste, the tongue sensitivity, tasting consciousness, tasting contact, and tasting feeling. And in the body, there is the tangible object such as hardness, softness, warmth, heat, cold, bodily sensitivity, touching consciousness, touching tongue contact, and touching feeling are arising. So when these objects are arising, they are arising as a whole, and one should not deliberately be analyzing, this is the eye, this is the visible object, this is seeing, this is seeing contact, this is seeing feeling. One should not deliberately analyze like that in the noting, but one should just note it as seeing. In the hearing, one should not analyze, this is the sound, this is the ear sensitivity, this is hearing contact, this is hearing feeling. In this way, one should not be deliberately analyzing, but one should just note it as a whole, just as hearing. If one is analyzing at the moment of seeing or hearing, one will not be able to note it, and one will not discern. So in the hearing, one should not be analyzing whether it is the sound or the ears or the hearing, or hearing contact, or hearing feeling, but one should just use the general term as hearing and note it just as hearing as a whole. The example is given when you want to take a look at a person, when you want to look at his or her features in the face, you should take a look at the whole face. By taking a look at the whole face, at times, one sees the forehead, or the cheeks, or the chin, or the nose, and one will see the features in the face. In the hearing, one should just note it as a whole, in the general term, just as hearing. And when sati and samadhi, when mindfulness and concentration become strong, At times, one discerns the sound. At times, when one discerns the ear sensitivity. But when the mind falls on hearing consciousness, one comes to discern the hearing consciousness. And when the mind falls on hearing contact, one discerns the hearing contact. In this way, by noting, just as hearing, one comes to discern one among these elements. But one should not deliberately analyzing them. One should just note it as a whole, generally, just as hearing. And in the last portion of the question is how one should be noting. One should be noting the object in the way it really exists, in the way it really is. So when there is rising, note it as rising and not falling. When falling takes place, note it as falling. When sitting, note it as sitting and not lying. And if it is cold, note it as cold. If it is hot, note it as hot. So if there is a stone on the road, one just notices it as a stone. It is not gold. If there is gold, one just notices as gold. It is not a stone. In the same way, if there is rising, note it as rising. If there is falling, note it as falling. If there is bending, note it as bending. If there is stretching, note it as stretching. And according to the law, Bhutan Bhuta Do Pasati, one should observe the object, naming it, labeling it in the way it really is, in the way it really exists. And this is the answer. When a child starts to go to school to learn reading, he or she has to start learning the alphabets as well as the pronunciation of the alphabet. When spelling out, reading the word, one should spell out the word and read it, pronouncing it. So in reading the word, the child has to spell to read the word to pronounce it. And from then on to, the child has to learn short sentences, reading out aloud to learn the reading. So in the beginning, when starting to read, the child has to spell it out, pronouncing it, reading it aloud. In the same way, when the yogis, sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, are not as good yet, one has to note the object by using labeling. But in the example, when the person becomes skillful in reading, one does not have to read out or spell out, but one can just read by scanning it in the mind. In the same way, when sati, samadhi, and panya, when mindfulness, concentration, and knowledge become strong, labeling is getting in the way. One just discerns the object, noting the object without having to label it. So when knowledge becomes mature, labeling automatically falls away. But in the beginning, one has to note the object by labeling so that one will be able to differentiate from one object to another, being able to note. And one should note it by labeling. So this answers the question number 10, where one should practice, what time or what moment one should be mindful, and how one should be noting.
Baby, finish.
It will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.